Praise the Lord. Let's dive into the word straight away. The last Wednesday when we're here, we're looking at the power of the tongue, right? Am I right? We're looking at the power of the tongue. And we say that death and life is in where? Is in the what? The power of the tongue. And we say that they that love it will do what? Will eat the fruit thereof. We said control your tongue, direct your what? Come on, preach with me. Control your tongue, direct your what? And then we say what dominates your thought or your thoughts is how you will do what? You will respond to what? Is how you respond to what? Is how you respond to life. Okay, what dominates your thoughts? What captivates your thoughts? What becomes your strongest thought life is what is going to direct your life. And then we said, lastly, that you will not have what you are silent about. And I think that's where we ended. We read Mark 11, and then we went back also and read Numbers 13. But when I was starting last week, I think we began from Hannah, the book of Samuel, where we said that Hannah had some pressing things to say. And so, she went before the Lord and poured. Everyone say poured? Poured her heart before the Lord. And the priest came in the same house where Hannah was praying and looked at her intently, wondering what was happening with Anna. But the Bible says that she was pouring her heart before the Lord, and later on, Eli mistaken her to be drunk, and yet she was a woman who needed something and it had to be done that particular moment. Well, the story ends that later on she got Samuel, and Samuel became one of the greatest prophets that we have known in the history of mankind. Why? Because one person decided not to keep silent. Because one person decided not to keep silent about those things that matter. Praise the Lord. The tongue is very powerful. It's how you direct it. We said if you direct it in a negative way, of course your life is going to go in that direction. But we're also saying that if you direct it in the positive way and building up from the point of faith, also your life is going to go that way. But really last week I was saying that a lot of the times we are silent about things that matter. And we don't say anything about them. And then we come in the house of God and maybe sometimes complain. Or even just begin to complain among us, our peers or our friends, or and we don't get to say anything about them. And then life just takes us the way it wants. And sometimes people say, Mukama, boy, I got the ball. In literal sense, gwe, boy, I got the. Amen? Come on, amen? There is power in what you say. I think, and I don't know why, and I think here in Africa, we believe that only in the negative sense. We strongly, I don't know because of the culture that we have grown up in, but we believe that if someone says something, like for example, people say, "Omuntu asobola okuloga." Do you know that it's quick, people quickly believe that? Why? Because I think it's the culture or the environment that we've grown up in, but if you take that same power and the positive, you can actually change your life by what you say. Amen? Come on, amen? Come on, amen? So, watch out what you say, or don't say. Remember, we are in the series, The Battle Field. And we said that the battle is in the mind. Praise the Lord. Where is the battle? The battle is in the mind. But the Bible has already told us that we can pull down those what? Those thoughts, which had become what? Strongholds. Now, as I say strongholds, a lot of us view strongholds again from the negative standpoint. But you can also have positive strongholds. Like, I love my wife. That's a stronghold. Praise the Lord. That's a stronghold. How are you going to break it? You'll never break it. You know why? I have come to believe like that, and I have wired my mind like that. I will never forsake her, and I'll never leave her. So that's become a stronghold. But most of the time when we talk about strongholds, we are thinking of what? The negative. So you can also build spiritual faith strongholds. Like, I'll never quit. I'll never leave my local church. I'll serve my pastor. That's a stronghold. Amen? Come on, amen? Amen? That's why if somebody needs to talk to you out, how many people are single here? Single is not bad, by the way. Come on Saturday, I'll tell you why. But somebody can talk you out of something. Now, if you're single, you still have some time. But if somebody finds you on fire and they want to marry you, but they want to take you out of the things of God, if you have not laid very deep strongholds in Christ, they will take you away. They say, well, why? Why? Every time church? Every time church? When are you taking me out? I say, on Wednesday we are going for a Bible study. You know, that's when I also want you to take me out. If you are not rooted down, they are going to bring you down. But you maintain. If someone finds you on fire, you stay on fire. That's why when you're single, try to take your roots down. Amen? Try to take your what? Your roots down. Take them down. Why? Because if somebody comes and joins your life or be the part of your life, you must be solid. Not wavering. Why? Because they have found you with a very strong foundation of what? Of faith. They can't take you to and fro. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. So we can bring down those strongholds. But I want to conclude today by something that I really didn't know I was going to really conclude. And based on what has happened today, I really, really thought I wasn't going even to conclude today. But I want to talk about what the Bible calls the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, which we kept on hinting on, a few here and there, but Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible will call it, your Bibles, in some of your headlines, you're going to find the whole armor. Of what? Armor of what? Armor of God. Can we go to Ephesians? Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally, my brethren, be what? Be strong in the Lord and in the what? In the power of His might. Where are you supposed to be strong? In the power of His might. Then it says, put on the whole armor of God. I told you that word put on is to sink in. It's not like you're putting on a cloth. Sinking would mean that the garment is already tailor-made for you. Okay, it fits you. So all you have to do is just sink in, alright? You do not apply scriptures to your life. Okay? You apply yourselves to the scriptures. Are we together? So it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? To stand. Everyone says stand. Come on, everyone says stand. Everyone at the end of it all must be able to what? Okay. So that you may be able to stand. So why are we putting on the whole armor of God? So that we may be able to what? Come on, we may be able to what? Against what? Against the what? Okay, or the deceit, or the trickery of the devil. So meaning that, if you're putting on the all armor of God, it's going to help you what? Stand so that you may not be what? Deceived. Are we together? So the all armor of God is to help you to keep on moving. There's going to be points in your life where the devil is going to try to do what? To deceive you or to trick you. So the opposite will be that if you are not synced in, the enemy may try to trick you. Are we together? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. Against what? Powers. Against what? Rulers of the darkness of this, okay? Or this world. Other translation. Against what? Spiritual wickedness. Where? In high places. So, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. So meaning that you're going to find or you're going to be encountered by things in the natural. But don't be distracted because the enemy may what? Trick you. Your brother or your sister or even your wife or even your husband may be the one whom the, I don't want to use that, the devil, but sometimes. Okay, so you need to know that my wife, my brother, my friend, my wife is not my enemy. Especially for us who are married. The reason why you end up in counseling is because you think your wife, because you think your husband is your enemy. They are not your enemy. I promise you. If you understand that, you will never move things out of your home. Because we are not what? Enemies. So if we're not enemies, that means we can solve them here. But many times, we've been tricked. So we are tricked to fight against one another. Even in the church. You don't have to leave. You only leave if you have been tricked. That they don't like me. It's a trick. Everyone says it's a trick. But the Bible is saying that if we put on the whole armor of God, we'll be able to what? To stand. Are we together? So we are not fighting against what? Flesh and blood. I will need you to understand this as we go forward. There are certain instances that are going to show folks in your life, they may be at home, they may be at work, and they're going to present themselves in the package of natural stuff. But that's a trick. Look beyond, because the Bible says we are not fighting against what? Flesh and blood, but we are fighting against principalities. Somebody is behind this thing. Or somebody is behind this motive. So who do we go to? The one behind the motive. Okay? Get behind me, Satan. Okay? We are not against Peter. Are we together? Peter is a good man. But for that particular incident, Peter is being used. So you need to know that this is not Peter. Are we together? That it is somebody who is actually trying to get through Peter so that the relationship may not go well. And sometimes even for us who are parenting, it's not your kids. It's not your kids. The devil somehow has crept in. and is trying to sway your kids away from the Lord. So what do? You teach them. You teach them what? The Word of God. Praise the Lord. Because you see, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. Are we together? Okay, let's move on. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. We finished that, right? No, 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. How many times is this telling us to withstand? So, the first stand is different from this second stand, right? Now, this second stand means to resist, or to oppose, or to set against. To resist, or to oppose, or to set against. So, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, again do what? Again do what? Again stand. So, what the Bible is saying, that there may or there will be, if there's going to come opportunities or opposition from the enemy. But every single time the Bible say, every single time, that's what the Bible says. It says the war is going to come at you, but you do what? I've always told people that despite of what is happening, hell or deep down into hell, stand. Don't run. Don't be a coward. Don't be scared. You stand. Alright? Stand. And see what is going to happen. Amen? Stand. And see what is going to happen. Don't you want to stand and see how it's going to happen? It's like I'm going to stand here and I want to see tomorrow what will happen. I want to see whether you win. I want to see whether you take over my marriage. I want to see whether you take over my job. I want to see whether you take over my finances. Me, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to watch. Did you know, like if they say, omwana oyo muteke ka maso. Okay? Because botamteka ko maso. So, you stand and watch and see how the end will be. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's move on. Stand therefore, verse 14. Are we on verse 14? Stand therefore. How many times should we stand now? 3. Alright? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the what? The breastplate of what? Of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the what? Of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able what? To quench all the fury darts of the wicked. I wish I could go into that, but that's not for today. And then he's saying, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is, and take the helmet of salvation and what? And the sword of the Spirit, which is what? Which is the Word of God. Now last week we talked about how you can actually use your words to create your path. But lastly, I wanted to talk about how other people's words can actually become an hindrance or limitation to where you're going. So I'm starting from here. Because I know for many of us, you have not been able maybe to withstand or to stand because you don't know how. When words come at you, you don't know how to respond. You don't know how to resist. You don't know how to encounter what is coming at you. So put at the back of your mind that the all armor of God, one of the weapons of offense, is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? Come on, which is what? Which is the word of God. Now, going to the book, I think let me use Luke. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, it would be good to start with Jesus. Then move around and see other men of God. Then Jesus, chapter 4 verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when he had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Verse 4. But Jesus answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes what? Comes out of the mouth of God. Now, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is the only offensive weapon that I know. All the other weapons that we have are almost like defensive. But many times when the enemy comes on the offense, okay? Like for example, in this instance, Jesus, he comes on the offense. He comes not just to tempt you, he's coming to kill, he's coming to steal, he's coming to destroy. Are we together? Come on, are we together? So, when he comes like that, he comes with a mission not to leave you standing. Hello? Come on, hello? So, the problem is that many times when the enemy comes, and I know he does. He does a lot of the times in different ways. But the problem what we've done, we who know who are born again, is that when the enemy comes like that, we respond with frustration sometimes. Or sometimes you complain. Or sometimes you actually attack the person whom the devil is using. But if the devil is coming at you like that, the Bible is saying there is only one solution. Only one. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the enemy is attacking your family. What do you know about the word of God that is concerning your family? Or are you going to just complain? Are you going to just say, I'm tired? But what do you know about the word of God concerning your family? Or let's say your ministry. What do you know about the word of God that is concerning your ministry? Because when Jesus was attacked, the Bible says that it is written. Praise the Lord. It is what? It is written. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is coming from the mouth of the Lord. The devil did not stop there. Then the devil, taking him up on the mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will do what? I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to soever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Now, of course, through men, the devil is offering the kingdoms of this world to who? To Jesus. Now, how did Jesus respond? He says, and Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me what? Satan. For it is what again? It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now, I'm saying all these things because most of us, I know, the only time you get to read the Bible and hear the Bible, I hope, is here at church. But if you read the Bible, even in the Old Testament, all the way from Genesis, this is the only trick the enemy has. It is only one. Because it's repeated here. He's saying, I'll give you all this stuff, and you do what? Come and serve me. But most of us don't understand or are not aware of the tricks of the enemy. And sometimes, by the way, breakthroughs don't necessarily mean that God is in it. Sometimes you may get a breakthrough and takes you away from God. Sometimes you can get married and it takes you away from God. Marriage is supposed to be good. But you can get married to someone and they take you far away from what? Serving God. So what do you do when you know that? It is written, man or husband and wife will both do what? Serve the Lord. But some of you don't know that. They say, okay, let's go. And they take you away from what? Serving God. For some of us, it's your jobs. Most of people are not here because they are working. They are busy. What has happened? They have taken you away from serving God. And you don't know that. But the Bible here is saying, you shall serve who? Only what? Only one God. So you need to know. You need to read the Bible so that you understand where it is written. This is not the very first time Jesus is actually quoting from the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. You need to know every time. By the way, the enemy just has only one trick. Only one trick. He just upgrades it in every generation. Upgrades it. But it's only one. Only one. Praise the Lord. Why? He does not have enough resources. Because everything God created. Amen? Come on, amen? Amen? And then what happens in verses 9? Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from what? From here. For it was what? Now the devil now understands that Jesus really knows the word of God. And then he also what does what? He quotes. What does he say? He says, it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall what? Bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I believe sometimes the devil can quote more scriptures than some of the believers that we know. And verses 12, and Jesus again what? Answered and said, it has been what? It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until what? An opportune time. Because this is not the very last time he came to oppose Jesus. He took a break so that he can come back another time. But the scriptures tell us very clearly that you do what? You resist the what? Come on, you resist and he will what? Forever? No. For a while. He goes and what? Re-strategize, reorganize himself, and then he will come in another form. And he will do what? He will tempt you the same way that he tempted you, but the Bible says that you resist him every single time. And he will what? And he will flee. How do you resist him? How do you resist him is what we are trying to talk about today. Praise the Lord. Come on, are you with me? So the Bible says that when you put on the all armor of God, It's supposed to help you to do what? To stand. Stand against what? Stand against the tricks of the enemy. In 1 Samuel, we can go there. Let's read chapter 17. And verses 3. It says, the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. Now they had gathered for battle. So the Philistines are on the other side, and then the Israelites are on the what? On the other side. And verse 4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now, this is the real soldier that we're talking about. Now, the staff of his spear was like, let me just jump that. Verse 8. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Now, I want you to realize the Bible is very specific. It gives you how this man was dressed, how this man was strong, how this man was very prepared. Now, if this man was really a very good warrior, and everyone at this point feared him, why is he starting with threats? Why don't you just come, kill everyone, but why are you starting with threats? Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. I mean, think about it. Let me just paint for you a picture. Okay, if the devil is so strong, why does he start with threats? Have you ever thought about that? That he can't come and knock jaw? Okay, like for the men. Okay? You've seen someone that you like. Why don't you just come? Ngizako kuchibalaga. Why did you guys jangu to gendeka? Then why do you start by what? No, you start by what? Throwing suggestions. Right? Suggestions. And you singles, I'm going to talk to you on Saturday. There's a limit. Some of you start to send your suggestions when the other person has not what? Consented. All night. There's a limit to that. And you make the other person uncomfortable. Tumanawa kukiriza na ego wazeni kila. Dear. Who's your dear? Who's your dear? Huh? That's why we have so many broken hearts, because some people don't know when to say dear. Amen? Saturday. But it's not for today. But if you really think God has told you, why don't you just come? So you start by what? Saying somewhat. So this man, the Bible says, is one of the most qualified soldiers, but he's starting with threat. Amen? Let's continue. Verse what? 9? Haven't we finished 9? 9, okay. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your what? Your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and servants. By just saying that, he has already created fear. Because first of all, so he's saying the impossible so that you may not even attempt. Are we here together? Come on, are we here together? Alright. Then he says, and the Philistine says, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11, very key. When Saul and all Israel had what? Had what? These words, not weapons. Emundu zali tezinaba kuvuga. Zali tezinaba kutandika. Obaba ali temana na kuzira abako. When Saul and what? And all Israel. Most of us have quit when you just had words. Jangwencha, sign. Your what? Your resignation. Oh! Tagena na kujam service. Tagena kujam. Ayingira depression, mchitanda, mblaket. Auli devi gambo vya musajja. And fear gripped you. Words. Words. The whole king of Israel, his army, and the entire nation, one man said some very strong words, and everyone, the Bible says, what? What did they say? They were what? Greatly what? And so and all that were what? These words of the film, they were what? Dismayed and greatly afraid. Can I have another version there? Dismayed. Which other version do we use there? NLT? Right, give me NLT. And greatly. They were not just afraid. And Saul and Israel, when they had, they were what? Terrified. And what? Deeply shaken. Deeply what? How strong you are is not measured by how loud you are. Because the one who is no, it's not how loud you are. It's how much word is in here. So, we need to check sometimes that when we're praying, are we using the sword of the Spirit? Because it's not how loud you are. But how much word is in here? Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. So they were terrified and deeply what? Deeply shaken. Verse 12. Now David. Verse 11. Are we in verse 11? Oh, we finished verse 11. Verse 12. Now David was the son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. Now, he sent David to go and help out his brothers in the field. And I'm going to jump all that. And I'm going to go up to verses 22. Verses 22 says, and David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, came and greeted his brothers. Then, as he talked with them, there was the champion again, the Philistine of Gaza, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the what? To the same words. And listen, and David had him. What did David do? David had the same words he had said before. Now, verses 24, and all the men of Israel when they saw the man, fled from him, and were what? Were dreadfully afraid. Can I have 24 again? NLT. 24. And as soon as the Israel army saw him, they what? They began to run away in what? So, the men of Israel, verses 25, said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely, he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Remember, David had the same words. But listen, David's defense, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And in verse 27, it says, and the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why do you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride, the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Now listen, this is David's brother. He knows him very well. David is not going to allow Goliath put him down and put the whole army of God down. So he's asking, what shall be done? So his oldest brother hears what David is saying and comes and says, you actually are not going to do this. I keep on telling everyone that the people you hang out with most of the times are going to determine how far you're going to go. There are people who really know you so well and they think that whatever you're saying, whatever you're doing, you can't actually do it. And sometimes those are the people that you really hang out with a lot of the times, and you're telling them what God wants to do, and you're telling them what God called you to do, and they say, how are you going to do it? Where are you going to get the money? By the way, look at the odds that are around you. I want to tell you, every stage, there's going to be different stages, but at every stage, there's going to be somebody that is going to tell you something that is very contrary to what God said. And here the Bible is saying, David's own blood brother is not believing in him. But what does David say? David says in verses 29, and David what? Say, now listen, weapons not yet come out up to this point. They are just words. Are you here? They are just what? Words. David would have packed his bags and went back home. And says, it's my elder brother. But David in verse 29, he said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and he said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first one did. So David did not allow his older brother to do what? To talk him down. Especially those people who think they know you. Or have been with you. They're going to say some very discouraging words. If you're still in that company and you're still single, my only advice is leave. Alisgen of Nak Akazigo Kam. But sometimes you just have to leave that company. Kumanga, you're not going to go anywhere. Every time you come back home, I says, you're a man of God, you're a man of God, you're a man of God. You're going to hear that. And sometimes the solution is leave. Amen? Come on, amen. Some of you, what is just limiting you is you're still home. They're still telling you, you can't do that, 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 you can't do that. But some of us are still with company. They're telling us, you can't go there, you're doing that, you're doing too much, you just have to leave. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. You need to stand. Everyone says stand. So David turns away from his brother and continues asking. Again, what did you say? What will happen? The man who will kill this? Goliath? In verses 31, now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Now, I hope you're realizing that David's words became strongholds that the entire camp heard what David said. That these words went from the soldiers and the officials and they went to the king. Remember, words. David is walking around and says, who is this uncircumcised citizen? What are you doing here? And these words, he said them every time and every day that the entire camp, because everyone was afraid, these words went to the king. Why? Because they are not words coming out from a man who is ordinary. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. We have a trainee who went to not Dubai, but Abu Dhabi. So, he says that he went there to just be a porter. But while he's there, he realized that all Africans are given porter work. Because they think that Africans can't do these construction. So, he says one time he saw his supervisor when he has dashed there. He went and started what? Building. So, when his supervisor came in, he saw when this guy was building. He says, you mean you can't do this? Then the man says, I can't do it. He says, but I told you to do that. So he says he went back and do it. So the next day, the man did the same thing. He came, saw the other Philippine struggling with the door. He came and told, hey, by the way, do this. So before you know it, the other officials started telling the boss that we have an African that can actually build. And it says to process papers from becoming, from porter to there, it can take months. It says within days, he had gone from porter to what? To an engineer. He came back, changed his passport, and he went back as an engineer. What? Words. Nzen sobola. Actually, yagamba. Yagamba gundi we supervisor. Nzen chine chintu nchi sobola. Those words went to the boss. That there is an African that I can actually build. Praise the Lord. It's words. Someone doesn't tell you you can't do it and then you coil. That's opposition. That's the devil. Trying to limit how far you're going to go. Let me tell you, wherever we're going, somebody is standing there. It's not really the devil. There is somebody or some people or some organization or institute and you have to just go through them. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. But somebody tells you you can't do it. And you also what? You just coil. You just don't go through. You don't go back. You go to sleep. Not David. So the words went to the what? To King Saul. Then David said to Saul. Now, we are still words. Listen. David said to Saul, let no man's heart for because of him, Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with the what? With the Philistine. He says, from this day onwards, King Saul, relax. Relax. I am going to deal with him. Bigambo. 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 Verse 33. Guess what? And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For you are what? A youth. And a what? And a man, for him is a what? A man of war from his what?" Now, listen what happened. Then David said to Saul, "Tuchali mbigambo." Do you see what I'm saying? Tuchali muchi? I'm telling you that the devil is using people on a daily basis to stop you from where you're going. And all along, you've been listening. He's been at work, he can be at home, he can be even here at church, he can be anywhere, but every single day there's an assignment from somewhere, to tell you can't do it. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor there's a devil somewhere that you need to deal with. So listen what David said. David said to what? To Saul. Remember, he had already said to his brother, "This is the king of Israel. They've never met, I believe." And David has the guts to say, "Listen, Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it, and what? I killed it." It says, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has what? Defiled the armies of the what?" 37. "Moreover, David said," Tuchari mbigambo. Are you seeing? "Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from this, of the power of the lion and from the power of the bear, will deliver me from the what? From the hand of the Philistine." And he said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." In other words, David convinced Saul for a contract to be a soldier when he has never been a soldier in his entire life. Mukitegedde, akozesezza bigambo. That's why we tujja wano gamba, take out the sword of the Spirit. Like last time I said, he has said. Kuchukumoku Wednesday ngugwedemu amanyi. He has said. He has said. He has said. He has, it doesn't matter who or how many you find along the way. Stick to the sword of the Spirit. Stick to that. He has said. He has said. He has said. I will go, I will get that job, I will get that contract, I will get married, I will get there, I will get there. The reason why we have such a cloud of discouragement sometimes in the church, because we don't use the sword of the Spirit. I said, shouting is not enough. Praise the Lord. Shouting is not enough. You need to take out the sword of the Spirit and know how to fight. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Verses 42. Verses actually 41. "So the Philistine came, began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him." So Goliath is not just coming as Goliath, but he's also coming with his armor bearer. And then in verses 42, and says, "When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking, just ready for meat. Just ready for meat. So the Philistine said to David, you see that? If you might have been about vile up to this very time. The Philistine did what? Now, if he's a boy, why do you waste your words? Takube, okajewo. Do you get what I'm saying? But he's continuing to threaten. I said last time when we were talking about, I think, I don't know whether it was the first or in the other series I told, that you lose the battle in the mind even before you go to the battlefield. You will lose the contract in your mind even you go out before you go out for the interview. You will lose your marriage practically in your mind even before someone says, I'm tired of it. Do you get what I'm saying? So, Goliath, who is an army from his childhood, is still saying to David, says, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cast David by his gods. And the Philistine said, he's still saying, I don't know why he's not moving. Come to me, and I will what? Give your flesh to the birds of the air, and the beasts of the what? Then, David also did what? Said. David said to the what? To the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. You see this? The Bible says our weapons are not carnal, but they are what? They are mighty. So, David is saying, you're coming with a sword, with a spear, with an armor bearer, but I'm coming to you where? In the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then in 46 it says, this day, listen, it says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you, and this day I will give your carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a what? A God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that God does not save with what? And what? For the battle is the Lord's. And I will do what? And I will give you into, and he will do what? He will give you into our hands. So David is using his words after Goliath had said, and he is telling exactly what is going to happen to Goliath. Are we together? So let's finish the story. Then in verses 48, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew nearer to meet David, that David hurried, ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone stuck into his forehead, and he fell on his face, to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, and the Bible says, but there was no sword in the hands of David. The Bible says in Ephesians that you put on the all armor of God. And it says, lastly there, and it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is what? Which is the Word of God. How do you fight? How are you fighting? Praise the Lord. How are you fighting? How are you taking ground in your life? Are you just taking ground by the things that other people have said? Because there's going to be opposition. Every season there's going to be an opposition, sometimes bigger. From David's brother, then the king. King has authority. Whatever the king says, he knows what he's talking about. And then sometimes you think that's enough, and then there's Goliath comes back again. He says, you are just a boy. What can you do? But every single time, David spoke against what was said. Just like Jesus, it is written. What is written? That man shall not live by bread alone. It is written that man shall not worship other gods but God. It is written. Where is it written? In your life. When are we going to stop struggling and start striving towards victory or the victory that we know? I think we could forget sometimes so quickly. And yet, all the answers we have is the sword, it's the sword of the Spirit. 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 The Bible says, because James repeats that story, I'm just narrating. Elijah, man of God, stopped rain for 3 years, and then he came back after 3 years to bring back rain. But the Bible says this time around, he was sending his servant. How many times? 7 times. And the servant will go, the Bible says. Then he'll come back and say, Elijah, no rain. Elijah said, go find me a cloud. The young man will go check out, and there's no cloud. Then he comes back, Elijah, sorry, there's no cloud, man of God. And Elijah says, I know what I'm talking about. Go find me a cloud. Third time, fourth time, sixth time. And by the sixth time, if I was Elijah, you give up. Because definitely this man is telling the truth. There is no nothing. But Elijah knew what he was talking about. He said, go find me a cloud. And the young man went back. And finally, the young man said, I can see the feast. Who created that feast of the cloud? Elijah. Through what? His words. Go back, get me a cloud. Go back. Just like David did. The Bible says David killed Goliath without a sword. When did his head come off? With the what? The sword was just kutukiriza mukolo. But the head came off long time ago. Now let me encourage the single. We're going to talk. Come, it's going to be a very powerful meeting. I have never seen anybody who wants to get married and never gets married, because you keep on talking about it positively, but some of you are talking negative. Obatu na abaji bagwayo, obatu na abafuna yebaliwa abasajja balungi bagwayo. That's what you're going to get. And then someone just new in the church just comes up, tebamumanyi, nebamutwala. Same church, same word. And sometimes you've heard it more than them, but they just come in, nebamutwala. Why? Your words have created your environment. never seen anybody who wants to get married and they don't get married. I'm telling you the truth. Telling you the truth. Some of our sisters that were well with in our generation, I know. I promise you. It's not the devil. I know why they're not married. People used to come. They want to take them out. Sisters raise very high expectations. As if they're in heaven. This is us. You walk with people. You walk with them. You build with them. When I got married, I was only earning how many shillings? I was earning about 250,000. My wife was earning about something, 2 point something. That's how much I was earning. But what do we do? She believed in me. Spoke into life in me. Nanga sali wa mzanyi. Now she's home. I am working. So what if she saw 250,000 and didn't take me? Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Now, when you want to get married, you get married. Now, I'll tell you our story before we got married. We got some obstacle. I was the man of God, second in command. I promise you, when that thing happened, all hell got loose. I got emails, I got SMSs, you are fallen, you are a player, you are what? I stooped to the gospel. Nenyimirira, stand. Saduka. Stood. Now, we went a little bit sideways, we stayed in the same ministry. Now, some people, even when they get a bad version, they church ibajivam. But we stayed in there. It wasn't easy, especially for my wife. For women, it's not always easy. But let me tell you, if you are bound to happen, you will get married. Took about 2 years, actually. I think it was 2 years. After 2 years, we got married again. We got back together. We talked about what happened, and we got married. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. So, mwesembia mweka sometimes. Say what you want to see. Talk about good things about you. Pray for the man you see, you want, you know. From the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. But don't let people limit you. So what that you are that age? So what? So what? So what? What does the sword of the Spirit say? Be busy with your career. Be busy with ministry. As you're talking, make some more money. Let him find you when you have a career now. Let him find you when you're prospering. But having known a husband, having known a wife, stop you from going ahead, stopping you from fulfilling what God wants for your life. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Don't let people's words make you coil. Praise the Lord. Speak the word. Come on, speak the word. You don't know how many words I had. I had so many words. If I believe what people are saying, I will not get married. Or I will not even have attempted. Actually, I went back to the same person. Go back to the same. We're about to get married. My wife told me after 3 years. But we got back get married. That these people we trusted. We told them we've come back. And you know, God is doing wonders. We're going to get married. I didn't know. So my wife tells me after 3 years that these people came, put her aside and says, "Togeza. Togeza. Towayigaruli." Good enough, she didn't listen to them. But after 3 years, she told me what they said. I said, "Abantu bazibu." No, you are actually planning with them. They are the ones in the meeting. But hey, God is God. God is God. But behind your back, they go to your so-to-be wife and they are telling him these discouraging words. And some of you ladies, you listen to them. Some of you men, you listen to them. But I'm glad my wife didn't listen. Just by the sword of the Spirit. And here we are today. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. So use the sword of the Spirit. Get into the Word of God. That's what we're trying to encourage you. Get into the Word of God and find out where it has been saying. Even us who are married. Praise the Lord. I mean, come for us who are in ministry and want to see ministry. I really urge every one of us who is desiring to serve the Lord to get into the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Because the enemy is going to come and every single time put there a resistance. But every time he puts a resistance, get stronger. Can we stand? Resist. Every single time, resist. Every single time, resist. Every single time, resist. Every single time, resist. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Time is up, but I'm going to just give you just about 2 or 3 minutes. I know you prayed earlier, but in this specific, as we end this series, there are things that I know, and even this week, as we, every time you come up, there's another strategy, there's another way the enemy is bombarding you, but I want us to commit that as much as the devil will come at you, you will stand. You will stand. You will take your stand and you refuse to be moved because you know. Hallelujah. Can we just raise up our voices? Hallelujah.